be reading the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verses 24 through 37. From there he set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. Then he returned from this region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon toward the Sea of Galilee in the region of Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then, looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one, but the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak."
Today we listen to the scripture and we ask it the question, what does it say to us in our time, our day, and in this place, also particularly on what we name as Rally Sunday? As I begin, I refer to vacation time. Rally Sunday is typically a period of time where we make assumptions that many of us, or for many of us, the vacation time is over. Can I get an amen? I didn't think that would be rousing. Yeah, it's a time where we begin to adjust into what's called normal time, if there is any such thing as normal time in this day and in this age. I'm referring, though, and remembering, I've shared with you that both my wife and I enjoy catch and release fly fishing for steelhead, particularly on the Lower Klamath. And during that time, while we were experiencing joining together in this sport, doing this sport together, we observed something and learned about something called the Sol Lunar Calendar. And what this is a calendar, frankly, known to the ancients, that really tracks the phases of the moon and the various tides and what accompanies all that. And through this kind of timing and understanding of these phases, there are certain times that are more advantageous to be on the river fly fishing for steelhead. Now, in more ancient times, the fisher people needed to actually be in touch with these cycles, to know them by looking at the water, the tides, the sun and moon and stars. In this age, I simply spent $39.95 and from Cabela's have a special watch. Matter of fact, it has longitude and latitude of our favorite place that we like to go onto the river, and it usually lets us know when this time is about to begin. However, when you're on the river and you begin to be aware of this particular cycle, it's relatively easy to see when the cycle begins to set in, usually preceded by quiet, very little wildlife action at all. And then you notice, usually a hatch. Certain kinds of bugs begin to hatch along the river. And as this hatch rises, then you notice the smaller bird life beginning to feed on the insects, and also you'll notice the smaller steelhead coming to the surface to feed on the bug life. However, it doesn't just stop there. Also, other birds, for instance, osprey and eagle, both bald and golden eagle, even bear, it becomes this time where somehow nature sends out this incredible signal that it is time to be nourished. And also on some level, it's also the time to provide nourishment. One time, and this is true as well as factual, and you can check with my wife, she's seated at the rear on the way out, for the truth of what I'm sharing. We were at a place near Blue Creek, actually a holy place for the Yurok. We were fly fishing, and we did not have the solar lunar knowledge at the time. We were taking a break, as a matter of fact, in the late afternoon, and seated on the riverbank. And we noticed the hatch beginning. And we noticed then all of a sudden nature coming alive. Smaller birds began to fly. Then we saw an osprey, who are the best of the fisher birds, swoop down into the river and pull out a steelhead about this size in its talons. But the interesting thing along that lower Klamath, along the entire west coast, it's also the most prolific breeding ground for the bald eagle. And what happens is the bald eagle sits at the side in a tree, watches the osprey. The bald eagle's not as good a fisher person. So after we were watching, after this osprey was pulling up this fish, bald eagle came from the side, turned upside down, and grabbed the steelhead from the osprey. Osprey is not going to fight a bald eagle for a fish. It went on its way. The bald eagle went over and began to rest in a tree near the riverbank. And while it just was beginning with its talons to consume that steelhead, a golden eagle flew in. Now the bald eagle wanted nothing to do with that golden eagle, dropped the fish and flew away. The golden eagle would not go down on the river bar because the space was too small, and the golden eagle then would be much too vulnerable. We sat watching this play of National Geographic at work, and about 5 minutes after we saw this display, a small black bear cub came out from the side of the bushes and grabbed that little fish, and dinner was had. You hear what I'm saying? It was marvelous. All of a sudden, nature coming alive. It was a time to feed and be fed. And therefore, what I draw is that on this Rally Sunday, as is every Sunday, a time when we gather as the community of faith, in union and unity with the Spirit of Christ, through the breath of Christ, that we gather together both to support and to feed one another, to strengthen and nourish, and at times we come needing fed and needing nourished. That this place, every Sunday, is Rally Sunday, in which heaven and earth collide, in which our greatest needs, both mental, physical, spiritual, come together, and that we then, as this community of faith, in whom the Spirit of Christ has been breathed, in whom the Spirit of Christ continues to walk this land, are gathered together in this body. That is why we are here. That is the purpose for which Christ has called us. And as we gather each year on Rally Sundays through various churches I've served, I begin to reflect and look upon those things that we most need to share with others, and we most need to gather from our relationship also with God. And first of all, today, I believe as we rally together as a people of God, we long for and long to share genuine, authentic Christian hope. We are not here for doomy and gloomy, but we are here to celebrate the absolute existence of a breathing hope in our lives, that we as a people who have drawn our identity from our relationship with Christ and also our relationship with one another in Christ, we know that we live as a people who are not forsaken. We do not live within a cold and godless universe. In fact, we live in a universe that proceeds from the very voice of our Creator. And that we are a part of that speech somehow that continues on speaking and continues on longing for the fulfillment of the promises of God in Christ. I was reading a blog of a Christian grandmother. She was very articulate and struck me. This was written several months after 9/11, which we are coming again to the anniversary of that time shortly. This happened a couple of weeks after the original tragedy of 9/11. And this 9-year-old child was spending the evening with her favorite grandmother. And when the grandmother took the 9-year-old to her bed and tucked her in, kissed her on the forehead and said goodnight, the child said, "Grandma, would you stay with me a little while?" The grandmother could detect something in her voice. And she said, "Yes, of course, what is it?" And she said, "Grandma, I'm scared." The grandma, knowing how much this 9/11 tragedy had affected the children in their community, was aware of the source of her fear. So she quietly just sat with her, held her. And then the 9-year-old looked up and said, "Grandma, is everything going to be okay?" And Grandma answered naturally, like many of us would. She said, "Yes, of course, everything's going to be okay." And with that, the child earnestly said, "No, Grandma, no, Grandma. I really mean, is everything going to be okay?" And the grandmother wrote in her blog that, "Oh, I got it. I was trying to reassure her like an everyday okay, but my granddaughter was asking the cosmic question, the larger question of life itself, the whole arc of life itself. Is it going to be safe? Is it going to be okay?" We as a people in whom the Spirit of Christ resides, we as a people in whom the Spirit of Christ continues to walk this earth, we are a part of that bridge of hope reaching into the future, that even in times when they are dark, even in times when they are imperfect, we embody within us the breath of Christ, and within us also the message that contains the hope, not only for this time, this place, this church, but this world. We are a people of hope. Secondly, today, as we gather together in this Rally Sunday, which should be every Sunday, in which heaven and earth collide and uniquely comes together in a way that some of us need fed and others need feeding, and we all need to gather together for the transformation of this world. We want to be a part of the healing of our community and of ourselves. We want to be a part of the transformed and the transforming body of Christ. We know that some of us gather today and we are wrestling with perhaps physical illness or mental illness or wrestling perhaps with spiritual pain and suffering. We see in the scripture where, first of all, the Syrophoenician woman, who was a person who was without hope coming to Christ, a person who came from an area, she was descended from the Phoenicians, an ancient culture from 2,500 years before the birth of Christ, that for hundreds of years had been a great nation, a seagoing nation, but now had been reduced to someone who the Jewish people of Israel would despise and the Greco-Roman world would discard. She was longing for hope and then for healing. They brought him a deaf man, one who was deaf and mute, and longed for to be healed. We also acknowledge today that as we come together, some may be experiencing a need for physical healing or mental healing or spiritual healing. Some of us come together in strength in which we can share in that process of strengthening and nourishing towards healing. But also, we need to hear in this scripture a deeper word. It is not only the fact that the man was deaf-mute, but in our time, in our day, many of us experience deafness because of choice. The sound of chaos surrounds us. The difficulties of the world overwhelm us. And many times the incredible voices of discontent around us are so loud and so much that we become deaf to it. And secondly, in that deafness, we sometimes experience our tongues being paralyzed, where we have the longing to speak out, to name a truth we see and to speak it with clarity, with directness and compassion in the world in which we travel, and yet we find ourselves increasingly silenced and afraid. But those who follow Christ and those in whom the Spirit of Christ live can hear the true voices in the midst of all the noise and can reach within their hearts and lift that word of truth, of discernment, of wisdom to the world in which we live. And last of all today, the third H. Not only do we long for hope to have it, share it, to long for healing to have and share, but also looking for a home, meaning a community. We live in a time in which many families are separated, are distanced from one another for economic reasons and other reasons as well. We acknowledge that place and location for many of us become temporary. For many of us, each place we are in, it's passing through. Jesus said to us, when asked, "Where is your home? Where are you from?" And Jesus said, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air has nests, but the Son of Humanity has nowhere to lay his head." Meaning the Son of Humanity has no real physical place upon the earth, but the physical place of Jesus upon the earth is his existence within the human heart. That's where he resides. And that is what he calls us to community of the Spirit of Christ, of our hearts, in the transformation of the world. So I close today by saying, it's Rally Sunday. In years past, it was a time where we celebrate vacation being over, school starting, and having the new pattern, regular pattern of the year beginning. Well, those days are gone. Can I get an amen? It is always changing. Culture has changed. Our patterns have changed. But one thing has not changed, and that is the call of Christ and the Spirit of Christ within us, calling us together today as this community of faith, as a place in which the Spirit of God rallies, not just one Sunday a year, but every time we gather. Thus ends the message. Thanks be to God. And now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be upon you always. Amen. God bless you all. Go in peace.
Thanks for listening to this podcast of the First United Methodist Church in Turlock, California. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons, non-commercial, share-alike license. For more information about our church, visit www.fumcturlock.org or call the church at 209-668-3000. Visitors are always welcome. And now, may the peace of the Lord dwell in your hearts this day. And may God bless you.